Social media world changers, I'm having a party in Austin on May 4th and you're invited. My third annual social media content creation conference, Social Success, is happening on May 4th, 2024 in beautiful Austin, Texas. I've gathered some of the best social media and entrepreneurial leaders in the country, including Brian Martin, Brett Shuford, Dr. Trevor Buffoni, Dan Peterson, Megan Colwell, Jennifer Bassman, Davina Maharaj, and yours truly to speak at this fun, inspiring event that will help you level up your social media presence, your content creation skills, and your leadership mindset. Your Austin weekend will start on Friday, May 3rd with an optional mini branding photo shoot and a happy hour meet and greet. Then get ready for the big day because on Saturday, May 4th, you're going to spend 10 hours with your fellow social media world changers, learning all of the latest social media strategies to skyrocket your brand. On Saturday, you'll also get your headshot snapped by our amazing event photographer, and you'll get a fun swag bag to take home. We'll end with some group videos and an after party that you definitely don't want to miss. Space is limited, so grab your ticket today. Head to smallbizsocialsociety.com for details and tickets. And here's a money-saving tip for you. Reach out to one of the speakers for a special discount code to save $50 off your ticket. This is the best social media event in 2024 for mission-driven entrepreneurs using social media to make a positive impact on the world. I can't wait to meet you in person in Austin on May 4th at Social Success. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. I'm your hostess, Brittany Crossan, and I'm here to help you build a brand, make an impact, and have some fun on social media. I'm the owner of Fun Love Media, a social media and podcasting agency in Houston, Texas. This show is for social media creators, social media managers, and small business owners that want to stand out on social media and beyond. Please know that this show could include some grown-up language here or there. Let's get started. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. I am your hostess, Brittany Crossan. Thank you so much for being back for another episode. Whether you are listening or you're watching on YouTube, I am so happy that you're here. And I have good news for you. You don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time when it comes to your social media content. This good news was delivered by today's guest, Latasha Doyle. Latasha is the owner of Uncanny Content, a full-service content strategy and copywriting agency. So she's a writer and she has been doing this for years and she now has a team that works for her and they specialize in this sort of thing where they write copy, like marketing copy for their clients, and they also create a strategy of like, what the hell do you need to do this week in your marketing, in your business? And they're just going to give you a plan and give you the structure and say, go for it. And it's really cool to talk with her because she dove into a topic that is really, really important. I mean, it really isn't necessary to reinvent the wheel all the time in your content. And I think that it's something that a lot of us have done in the past and maybe are still doing and thinking that it's just so hard to create content all the time, when really, if you just have some organization and some structure and you repurpose things like what she and I are talking about in this episode, then it really makes things go a lot easier. So get ready. This is a jam-packed episode, like good stuff throughout the entire 30 minutes. I want you to take notes. I want you to re-listen to the parts that really, really resonate for you. I want you to get your ideas, because then you can go and create your own plan based upon the information in this episode. I'm so excited for you to listen to this. Coming up next, my guest, Latasha Doyle. Latasha Doyle, hi. Your fun fact says, I was once a nanny for a Denver Broncos football player, but you can't say who. Love that. When was this?
It was 2013. Yeah, 2013.
Were you a nanny like for a while, or was this just kind of...
Yeah, I was a nanny for a decade. So I graduated high school in 2006 and I was a nanny until February 2016. Yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay. You have a huge background in that. And I just love that was your fun fact on your guest form. And that you're like, I can't say who. Nope. Although I'm not a football person, so I may not even know who the hell you're talking about, but I'm sure somebody listening would.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was. So
you're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And he's probably like, I'm kind of a big deal. Well, that is cool. That's a fun fact. I haven't had one like that before. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about what you're sharing. As I was telling you, I haven't had anybody really in your kind of zone of genius on the show in a while. So this is This is cool. I'm excited. So first, let's start. We're going to talk about repurposing social media content, which is like one of my most favorite things to do. I'm so excited to nerd out on that with you. But first, I want you to please tell us like about you and Uncanny Content. Like, why did you start your business? When did that happen and why?
Yeah. So I was a nanny for a decade. And actually, while I was a nanny, there weren't very many nanny resources out there. So I was running into things like, you know, my nanny kiddo's grandpa died and I didn't know how to talk to the kid about it. I have a couple of kiddos who were on the ADHD autism scale somewhere. Right. And I didn't know how to bring that up with their parents because I had suspicions and all these things. So I was looking for resources, right? And I could not find them. And then I pitched care.com, which is, you know, you can find babysitters, nannies, dog providers, things like that on there. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not seeing this. And I think it'd be really cool if you guys did this. And they were like, oh, okay. Do you want to write it? I was like, sure. And so I wrote an article for them and they paid me more for one article than I made in a week as a nanny. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Okay, excuse me. I'm going to call care.com real quick. Hold on. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. And then they liked that first article and then they asked me to write more. And so I was basically subsidizing my income. But the whole thing is that I have a condition called Marfan syndrome, M-A-R-F-A-N. If you're watching the video, you can see that I have, you know, a slightly lazy eye, but you'll also kind of hear me gasp for breath sometimes because I have restrictive lung disease as well. So Marfan syndrome is a connective tissue disorder. It affects everything that your body has connective tissue in. So everything. But the big thing is that it affects my heart. So when I was a nanny, obviously very active, you're chasing kids around, things like that. But it was 2015 when I had been writing for care.com and I was carrying a toddler up the stairs and I almost fainted. And I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. This is unsafe for me and for them. So I kind of looked into cutting back my hours. It broke my heart. It was the worst. I loved being a nanny. I was so good at it. And I had to make a change because my body was telling me it's not safe for you anymore. And then I was like, well, I mean, care.com would pay me for this article. Maybe I can find another company like this. And then I kind of fell down the rabbit hole of all things like online marketing. And I realized that people pay other people to write their stuff. And I had always loved writing. I was always very good at it. And then I just kind of dove in and did all the research and I started writing in September for other people, not just care.com. And then by June of 2016, I was full time. So.
Wow. It was fast. Yeah. Dang. Okay.
And then since 2016, I now have an agency where I have, 7 employees, including myself and 1 contractor. So it's been a hot and heavy couple of years.
That's awesome though. That's very exciting. Cause that, that means that, I mean, I don't know how, if you have the same perspective I have as a business owner, that when you start to have employees, that it's so special to know, like for me, it was always like, one of my kind of like business owner dreams or goals or whatever was just like knowing that something I started helped that person like feed their children or buy their loved one a birthday gift or, you know, something really special, like you're part of that, you know, it's very cool.
I think for me too, it's, I've never worked corporate I was a nanny and then I started doing this. So like, I've never worked a corporate job. Most of my team has, and they have a lot of corporate job trauma because they have, you know, horrible managers or jobs that, you know, you had to come into work even if you had the flu or whatever. And letting them, you know, hiring them and allowing them to like work from home, have their own schedules, all those things. As somebody with a disability, I fully understand that like work is not everything. And it's just been really, really cool to see the team kind of flourish personally too, because they can do the things that they want to do besides just, you know, hunch over a computer and cry.
Right. That is cool. That is cool. You have like major compassion for others and and helping them along the way. That's amazing. I love that. Okay. So next, what do you guys do at Uncanny Content?
So we are a content strategy and copywriting agency. So that essentially means that we start with your ideal marketing strategy. So let's say you have a course or you sell digital products. We help you come up with a marketing strategy for that, whether it's you want to do launches or you have an evergreen offer, whatever that is. And then we help you kind of figure out which platforms you need to be on. So whether you're doing a blog, email, social media, or you do YouTube or a podcast, most of our clients do, you know, some mix of all three of those things, whether, you know, they do YouTube and turn it into a blog, or they do a podcast and turn it into a YouTube and turn that into a blog. But we kind of help them figure out where they need to show up. And then we basically say like, okay, this is the topic for this week. Here's how that translates into your podcast. Here's how that translates into your email. Here's how that translates into social. We call them weekly themes so that people know what to focus on. So one of the biggest things that we find is that our clients really struggle with like, okay, I have 15 minutes right now and I know I can go do a story real quick, but like, do I just do a quick story about like what I had for breakfast, or do I need to talk about, you know, the product that I just launched or whatever?
Right.
So we found that by actually giving them sort of like a weekly marching order, they can go confidently into their stories or their DMs and be like, oh yeah, I have this product for you, or, you know, whatever it is. And then if we do the content strategy for you and you don't like to write, we write everything for you. We do launch copy, website copy, all the things. So I say we're full service content and copy because of that.
Right. That's cool. You said giving them marching orders, which is a fun way to say it. But yeah, like, you're right. It's a common struggle as an entrepreneur on social media to be like, oh my God, which thing do I do? Because there's just so many options. There's so many variables. There's so much stuff. So the fact that you guys are able to really just give them that guidance, I bet that's like a lifesaver for so many people.
It is. And it also results in so much more ROI because they're really dedicated. So the one thing that we hear a lot is like, oh, I've been using my content pillars. I've been using my content pillars. But what they're doing is they're actually promoting different things with each of those pillars. So there's like the educate, entertain, like all these typical pillars. But what they're doing is they're kind of alternating between areas of expertise or areas for different products that they have. So they're educating on why you need this course, and they're entertaining about, you know, like, oh, my coaching product, whatever.
Right.
And then they get into selling something and it's something totally different than what they've been talking about the rest of the week. So you're actually you're hopping too many places, right?
Yes.
And that is definitely something that we have seen a lot. And then when that stops, they're like, oh my God, I had so much more web traffic. I have so much more, you know, I have so many more leads. I have so many more booked people. It's really interesting to see how that changes just simply by knowing what you're talking about every week.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just having some organization, some structure. Yeah. Totally. Okay, cool. All right. So let's dive into the how to repurpose social media content for maximum reach. I was so happy to see that this was a topic that you were willing to talk about, because to me, repurposing content is like, what do the kids say? My kids always say things are so satisfying. <That's> their... I'm sound like an old lady. But anyway, that kind of feeling though, really, it really is. It's so satisfying. Yeah. And to know that like you have this one kind of complete thought, if you will, if you want to call it that, but then you can put it there and there and you can redo this or change that. Or I mean, it feels so good to me as a creator myself. So let's dive into this. How do people do this? How can they repurpose social media content?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that people, you tend to just like reinvent the wheel every time you get on social, because you're thinking, oh, well, I learned that you have to use this hook, and oh, you have to like use this structure. So you're constantly trying to please the algorithm gods, right? Like, it doesn't matter what you're creating. You're just trying to create something new because you think that's what you need to do. But actually, you know, the content that performs really well, like you just instinctively know it because you're like, oh wow, that got a lot of likes, or wow, that video, like I got, you know, 10,000 views on that video. Like you instinctively know what's your best performing content, right?
Right.
But people tend to say like, oh, I need to like find a way to duplicate what I did there instead of repurposing what they did there. So for example, we have a client who's real. She She does tarot. So we have a client who's reel got a ton of reach. And she was essentially just talking about the tarot card that she pulled for the week, right? And what that, you know, tarot card meant, what it meant for your business, all the stuff. And it did really well. And so we told her, you know, turn that into a carousel, turn that into a static post, turn that into a story. Because what happens is not everybody consumes reels the same way, right? And then once that reel is no longer circulating through the algorithm, it doesn't get anywhere.
Right.
But if we know that like that kind of content did really well, let's try it in different mediums. So, you know, she turned it into a carousel and it's now one of her best performing carousels. Like there's a reason that that core piece of content worked so well. And it's because that's what people want to see from her. So yeah, just turning it into different things like that is really powerful. And it also stops you from needing to come up with a new idea every 2 days.
Right. Do you think that like, do you think that kind of the way you were saying with like a weekly theme or something, can that be a part of someone's workflow with their own content? Like they know they have like this theme, they have this thing they talked about, whatever. And then you make multiple pieces of content of the same exact topic, thought, whatever.
So this is probably this is what I love. So I create the content strategies for our clients and I love them. Like, I just think they're the coolest things ever. Because you get to come at one topic from like multiple ways. And instead of trying to be like, oh, what am I talking about today? You're like, oh, I know that I can just tell the story about. So let's say that, you know, for us at Uncanny, I think this week we are talking about shortening your copy, like how to use fewer words to say something with more impact. And so we have a blog that's going to say, you know, here's how to trim your copy down. Here's how to edit your, you know, kill your darlings, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then we have an email going out about it. And the email, I think, is super short because we were like, we killed all our darlings and go read this blog. But then we get on social and I do have a team. So let me caveat this. I have a team. I have people who can like create multiple videos with me. So I will go on stories and I will talk about a time when, you know, a client was like, this page isn't converting and I don't know why. The language is exactly what clients told me, like really resonates with them. And we get in there and we see that it's just the sentences are really long. They're really hard to process, right? So then I go in and I trim it down. And like now the intent of that copy is it's there. And then we'll have a video with tips on how to cut your copy. And then we'll have a carousel of like maybe you're doing these three things that are making your sentences or your pages too long. And then we will probably have another post or another reel go out with somebody else on my team making something related to how to trim down your copy. And so from that one idea, you know, we have a blog, we have an email, and we have like 4 or 5 social posts. And then, you know, in a month or so, I'll look at that data and I'll say like, okay, so that reel on that topic didn't do so great, but like that carousel popped off. And that's a good indication of like, okay, let's repurpose that carousel and try it into a static post or whatever. But it's really, really powerful. So we have clients who do this and they can see really clearly what kind of content their audience likes or doesn't like. Or, you know, which way the wind blows on the algorithms that day, so to speak.
Right.
But it is really cool because you can come up with, you know, the one core idea and find different ways to share that. And then once you see how that content performs, you can repurpose it later.
Right. Okay. You're going to be so proud of me. Well, as we record this, so probably when this comes out, I'll have already done this. But as we record this, next week I'm going to LA to speak at a podcast movement event to talk about social media for podcasters. And my topic is what you're saying just about. It's turn your podcast episode into 8 pieces of content.
Yeah.
And now you're like helping affirm like what my presentation that I made. You're making me feel good about it because that's what it's about. And it's true. You're right. Like I just like it with that with what I'm doing, it's like you have your podcast episode that you have to record like you and I are doing right now, but then it's like you write show notes about it, but then like we take the show notes and we use that as a blog post on the website, and then we take those show notes and we also can make a LinkedIn post, and then of course you have a video clip and all that.
So
I nerd out on this is so exciting.
So do I. I love it. I will say too that like when we talk about repurposing, I think one of the things people do that kind of drives me up the wall is that they will use the same content on every platform without updating it for the platform. I'm not saying you do this. I'm saying that, like, in general, this is a thing I see. So if you have an Instagram caption and you're also blasting it to LinkedIn, but you're using all the same emojis and space and everything, that's not like LinkedIn preferred content. That's just like copy paste. So, like, you know, one thing that we do is when we do LinkedIn posts, like, I'll delete most of the emojis. Like, I'll make it a little bit longer. Like, LinkedIn is just a little bit more buttoned up, right? Whereas Instagram, I can start with like an F-bomb on the caption. Nobody cares. But, you know, you kind of have to, like, if you're repurposing almost directly, just make sure that you're making small tweaks so that it's like really right for the platform.
Right. I love that you said that, that you can make small tweaks. Cause I think that at least once upon a time, I would hear people talk about, making sure what you share is appropriate for the platform and not doing the copy paste thing. But it sounded like, I think it can sound so, it can sound like a chore, and it can, it's a lot if somebody's doing it themselves. But like you're saying, it literally can just be tweaking, like taking away the emojis and an F-bomb, and then, okay, cool, it's ready for LinkedIn. It doesn't have to be,
you know, the really
making
cool
a whole new thing.
The cool thing is now we have tools like ChatGPT that will just do it for you. Like, I use ChatGPT to reformat stuff daily. Like, if I have a bulleted list of, you know, here are 10 things to do to, like, trim your copy down. Okay, I have that list because I took those notes. And now all I have to say is, hey, can you format this into sentences?
Oh,
that's
it.
That's all it does. And then I'll write. I don't always agree with the voice, so I have to edit that. But it's really simple. Or you can, like, copy paste something that you're like, hey, can you remove the emojis in here and make this more, you know, paragraph style? And it will do that for you.
Right.
In seconds, so that you don't even have to think about it. It's pretty great.
That is pretty great. So what have you seen on, I mean, besides, I was going to ask you, like, what have you seen or, like, kind of common mistake or something in this topic for business owners, which you've already kind of mentioned, just the fact that in general, we think we need to, like, reinvent the wheel every time we share content anywhere online, which is, I agree 100%. And it's something about, like, repetition. Like, people think, like, there's something wrong with that when actually it's the opposite. And marketing is actually really good to have that. But, like, is there anything else that you feel like are kind of common mistakes or things that people, a myth or they're misled on that to help them go, okay, I don't need to be afraid of doing what Latasha's telling me to do. Yeah. I need to just do it.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is people always assume, like, oh, well, everybody has heard me talk about this a bajillion times. I can't say this again. I actually just had this conversation with a client. We were creating new podcast topics for her, and we were talking about burnout in her specific niche. And she goes, I feel like we've talked about this so many times. And I'm like, that's because it's still a thing for your audience. We didn't cure their burnout with the first podcast. So we're approaching it from a new angle, right? Like, we're saying, okay, here are three ways to, like, overcome burnout in your fitness business, things like that. But I think so often people are afraid to, like, reintroduce the same information because you don't want to sound like you're a one-trick pony. And I get that. Like, I'm a content and copywriter, and I will talk about content strategy and content repurposing till I'm blue in the face. But, like, I don't want to be known as just the content repurposing chick. Like, I get that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting because people don't understand how much it takes for somebody to properly absorb information from you. So Google has this rule. It's called the 7-11-4 rule. And it's essentially, I have notes over here. I had to pull up my journal so I could read this. It's 7 hours of content across 11 different touch points across 4 different platforms for somebody to convert or be actually trusting you at this point. Cause we're in a trust recession right now is what they call it. So it's taking all of these things that, you would assume, like, one piece of content, if it's just really, really good, oh, somebody's going to convert right away. That's not true. It's not true at all. So you can Google it. Google it. It's Google's rule. But this is actually their studies that show how long it takes to convert somebody.
Seven hours? You say 7 hours?
7 hours of content. So, like, for you, it's podcasts, you know, maybe, like, what is that? 7 to 9 podcasts for you?
Yeah.
That's 7 hours of content across 11 different touch points. So that's, like, they listen to your podcast, they go to your Instagram, they go back to your podcast, they go to your email, whatever.
Right.
Across 4 different platforms. So it's your podcast, it's your YouTube, it's your Instagram, it's your LinkedIn, it's your email, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me because people always assume that, like, well, if I just make this reel really good, that's going to be the thing. And it's like, make that reel really good. Yes. But, like, keep doing it because people don't see all of that.
Right. Right.
And I think that it's validating. It can be discouraging, right? To be like, oh my God, 7 hours of content, especially if you're, so I don't do podcast or video. So I'm sorry, but 7 hours of content for me means somebody's like watching a bajillion of my reels.
They're binge watching your reels for sure.
And 11 different touch points that, you know, that doesn't happen in a day. That doesn't happen even in 2 weeks necessarily. Right. So you have to really nurture these relationships and you have to do it in a way that's across platforms. But then if you're, so what happens when we're talking about like nurturing people, if you are doing different content on different platforms every week and they're jumping across those touch points. So let's say, you know, we're talking about content repurposing on your podcast, but then on YouTube, you're talking about, oh, how to, you know, write a sales page. And then on LinkedIn, you're talking about, oh, this is how to use testimonials. And then you're on Instagram telling people about like Reels strategy. That same week, if somebody wants to go find you in all these different places, and you're talking about three other things on those other platforms, they're like, well, I wanted to come to you for this one thing. Like, that's what I was interested in. That's what got me down the rabbit hole. Right. But if you're talking about other things that same day, that same week, the odds of you losing them are really high. Whereas right. if you have one topic 1 week across your platforms, you're creating an ecosystem that's really solid. So that's like, okay, they're hopping, you know, let's say, you know, they wanted to learn about content repurposing. So you're talking about content repurposing on the podcast, content repurposing on the YouTube channel. You're talking about content repurposing in your email. You're talking about content repurposing on Instagram. And to us, that sounds repetitive as hell, right? Like, oh my God, I'm going to have to be beating a dead horse. This is what people want. This is the consistency. Yeah. People, it's the through line that people are like, I came to you for this thing. And then I learned other stuff because now they're invested. They're right. like, oh, she knows her shit. She knows what she's talking about. So right. I'm going to stick around next week. And I know that I'm going to learn all these different things across all these different platforms about something that's still relevant, right? It's still in your wheelhouse. But I think that that's something that people underestimate is, you know, the bounce that people do. And if they're not seeing consistent messaging, topics, all the things, they're going to think, oh, okay, well, they're not really talking about what I wanted to learn about.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, also what you're talking about also by doing what you're suggesting, it also helps to build a really nice, tight, clear, focused brand. And mm-hmm. and like you mentioned earlier, people don't want to be a one-trick pony, and that's fine. But I think that that's a whole other topic we probably don't have time to get into. But I think that it's it's smart though to do this and to keep things in this like structured, organized fashion throughout all the places that you are, and it does help you become known for things. So and it doesn't have to be just the one thing, right? Like you're saying, it's just like one thing for a set period of time, and then maybe the next week it's a different topic. But that helps people. Like I know that there's psychology behind it, and I'm not a psychologist, but as far as just like knowing you for something, and like there's nothing wrong with being like, Oh, you know, like people tell me like, oh, you're the treadmill dancing girl. And it's like, oh, yeah, cool. It's cool. Like, it's fine. I don't.
What a thing to be known for.
If I didn't, it's weird. It's very weird. I mean, if I didn't want to be known for that, I guess I shouldn't have done this shit. You know, I don't know. And so, but it's fine because that helps someone identify you in a way. So that's mm-hmm. a silly example, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that people are afraid, like you're saying, like, if I talk about this again, or if I share it here and here and da, 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 but that's actually a good thing. Yeah.
I also think too, you know, we all know echo chambers at this point, right? Like we feed into our algorithms. So
yes.
I see a lot of people talking about content. I see a lot of people talking about launching. Okay. But my ideal client isn't necessarily in that same echo chamber.
Right.
So we're thinking, oh my God, everybody's talking about this. I'm so sick of this.
Yeah.
This happened a couple of weeks ago with a pelvic floor therapist client of ours. I don't know if you saw, I forget the, is it Jason Kelsey? Oh. Is that his name?
I do know that football person. Brother. Yes.
but his wife has, you know, I think they have like four kids or something. And his wife was talking about how she like basically broke her back having kids, and she needed to go to pelvic floor therapy, and it was the best thing she's ever done. And so I had told this client, I was like, you should really talk about this. Like, this is a big deal for somebody who's, you know, famous, yeah. To be talking about the importance of pelvic floor therapy. And she said, oh, every pelvic floor therapist is talking about that. I'm like, I don't care. Your clients are following every pelvic floor therapist. Yes. And she was like, oh, that's such a good point. I'm like, I think we get so in our heads that like, oh, well, everybody's talking about this. Oh, I've said this so many times. And it's like, your ideal client hasn't heard it yet. I promise you.
Right. Right. And like, we're not all seeing the same thing.
And you know what? There are people who were like, oh, actually I needed that reminder. Like I talk about, you know, content repurposing till I'm blue in the face. And we have clients be like, ugh, I forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Like they need it. They need to hear it multiple times.
There's so much going on. First of all, people are just busy in their lives, right? Just living their lives. But also when they get on their device or on their computer, like it's a lot. So reminders are a good thing. Something else you said that I wanted to bring up or expand on. You talked about how somebody's like, maybe like putting too much, pressure on just like one reel, for example, like this is going to be the one that's going to change everything. And now could one video change someone's life? Yes, of course it could. Yeah. I guess it could. It could go viral and maybe, you know, you could be interviewed by Oprah and Lord only knows what happens after that. But mostly no. And you said, you know, you got to keep doing it. And that's something else I talk about that it's I think it can be hard for people to grasp that like, it's just forever. Like you're just going to do this shit forever or whatever forever means for us right now.
Yeah.
And just like make that a part of your workflow in your life, just like you would any sort of like routine, ongoing business task, essentially.
Yeah. And I think too, building in a repurposing strategy. So, you know, with your core content, so like for you, it's the podcast, right? So how are you dispersing the podcast in multiple ways for this week or for 2 weeks or whatever? And the thing that people tend to underestimate is how much, when you streamline that, how much better your work life becomes, because you're not constantly like, I have to make a reel today. I have to do a post today. And I didn't think about it and I didn't plan for it. Versus I know what's going on the, you know, core content that day, whether it's podcast, YouTube, blog, whatever.
Right.
I know my email. I know my social posts because you plan for it. I don't care if you plan 2 weeks in advance or you plan like we do a full 3 months in advance. That's up to you. It's whatever your tolerance is. But we've had clients be like, oh my God, this makes it so much easier for me because I can batch content. And I know what I'm talking about that week. So like, even if I want to go on stories, like I have, you know, I'm stuck in the car between, you know, kid dance recitals or whatever, and they can go on stories and they can talk about something and they can get a link to directly to their podcast or whatever.
Right.
It takes so much mental load off of you. And it also makes it really easy to like delegate. If you do that, if you're totally by yourself, it makes it a lot easier for you to know, like, okay, I need to do all these steps because it just becomes a process. And when you processize your content marketing, it just becomes way more effective, way easier for you. And you do have to do this forever. Like you don't get to stop marketing. The biggest brands in the world don't just like ride on their laurels, right? They're doing Super Bowl fucking commercials that cost them tens of millions of dollars.
Yes.
They are also marketing every day. They can't stop. So, you know, unfortunately, neither can we.
Right. It's forever. It's until the end of time. So let's just embrace it and figure out a way to flow with it. So before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you one more thing I feel like could be really helpful to people that listen to this show. Because a lot of people listening to this show are doing a lot of stuff themselves because either they're in just those first couple of years of just where you kind of have to or whatever, and they haven't graduated yet to maybe hiring someone like you. So I think that something that would be helpful is for them to know when they are working on this and they're getting organized and they're going to take your advice and repurpose their stuff and have their weekly theme and all that. What about choosing where to put all the things? Like, do you have an opinion on that? Because, I mean, it's great to be in multiple places, of course, but what if somebody's like, how many do I post on every platform everywhere? Do I choose three? Like, what do they do?
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts on this. I will try to condense them down, but I'm like rubbing my hands together maniacally. So like, the biggest thing that we always tell people, I don't care if you work with us or not, start with your capacity, especially if you're by yourself doing this shit all alone. You start with your capacity and you be so stupid honest about it. So I have a disability. Okay. I will wake up some days and I'm like, today is not the day. I'm not the one. It's not happening. So with me, I know that I probably got 3 or 4 good days a week of like, I can be online, I can be present, I can look, you know, semi-presentable without looking like a troll. So I start with my capacity. So like, if you have kids and you're like, kids are home Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Okay. Those are not your days to be creating content. Sorry. The kids are going to be screaming in the background. You know, if you volunteer somewhere, you know, like, okay, Friday, Saturday, I'm out, whatever. You have to know your capacity. And within that capacity, maybe it's 15 minutes a day to create content. Maybe it's on Mondays. I can dedicate 2 hours and I can create a whole, you know, couple of weeks. Just know your capacity in that sense. And I don't care what, it doesn't matter what medium it is yet. We're literally just looking at capacity.
Okay.
And then you move into what your audience consumes and how you want to show up for your audience. So for me, most of my audience is on Instagram. They just are. I have a couple of people who are on LinkedIn, but mostly everybody finds us, you know, through referrals or Instagram, period. Right. So I know that most of our time has to be dedicated to Instagram. Also, I believe that SEO is important, so I will do a blog every week. We have a sister brand called Uncanny Unedited, which is book marketing for authors. So we also do a blog over there every week because we try to get the SEO juice rolling on that because we just launched it. So I'm prioritizing blogs because of SEO juice. That's just my preference. It's not that I don't even think most of our ideal audience reads our blogs. It's just for Google. Okay. Yes. and then we do email because I do believe that email is one of the most effective ways to sell. But in terms of like platforms to choose, it just depends on where your audience shows up. So we have a lot of clients whose audience is really, really on LinkedIn. Blows my mind that people are on there as much as they are because I hate it, but that's the facts. Like, people use it.
They do.
So like, we tell our clients, like, let's prioritize like your social media over there. You know, and some people, their audience is very much on YouTube or, you know, TikTok. So we start with like, ask your audience where they show up. And if they show up on a platform where you're like, that is not a vibe for me, I can't do it, don't do it. Okay. You don't have to be on TikTok just because like 50% of your audience says they're on TikTok. Yeah. Would it be an ideal world where you could do that? Yes. But I'm not going to tell you to force yourself to do something that you actually hate.
Right.
People hate TikTok. They hate making video. I get it. So start with your comfort level based on where your audience shows up. So if your audience shows up on Instagram and you're still kind of iffy on video, carousels, posts, maybe stories,
sure.
B-roll footage for your reels. You know, you don't even have to show your face anymore. That's the really cool thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to talk face to cam like this. You know, you can,
right.
you can be scrubbing your kitchen for all I care and then sharing great tips on your copy, on your video. But also make sure that your audience is actually there. So I love Substack. Substack is kind of like Medium meets LinkedIn meets newsletters. It's kind of this mishmash.
Okay.
I love it. None of my ideal clients are on it. So like, I can go on there, I can create all I want, but like, it's not going to translate for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that would not be a very good thing for me to like put all my, you know, eggs into that basket.
Right.
Because my audience just isn't there. But, you know, maybe my audience is on LinkedIn and I can translate that like, oh, I love long form content. Maybe I can translate over to LinkedIn because my audience is there. Right. I don't necessarily love it, but here we are.
Right.
So yeah, it starts with capacity. Second step is where your audience is. And third step is what kind of content do you want to create on that platform that you can really maintain and produce a lot of.
Right. I love that you mentioned that about basically like the way I say it is like leaning into your strengths. I like how you said that about like platforms and what feels good to you to make and what are you good at and what do you enjoy and stuff like that. Because if you factor that in, even though, yeah, like you said, sometimes you're going to have to share on a platform that's not as fun. Fine.
Yeah.
But like, for the most part, if you're factoring all those things in and really doing things that you feel like you're strong at and that you enjoy more, you're going to be less likely to quit. You're going to be more consistent because it's just a more enjoyable process in general, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because you thought about your capacity first, you're not constantly burning the candle at both ends to create the content, right?
Right.
You're not like, oh my God, I have to spend an hour a day creating this LinkedIn article. No, you don't.
Right.
You don't have time for that.
Good news. You don't have to.
That's the thing, right? You don't have to do any, like, there are so many people out there saying you have to do a certain amount of things per day, per week, whatever.
Right.
Y'all don't have to do it. start with your capacity first, and then you can scale, right? Like once you get it down, once you're like, hey, I posted twice a week for 2 months, I feel like I can add a day. Great. Scale from there. But start with what you can do. It doesn't matter what that is. Period.
Period. I love that. Perfect way to end this interview. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Tell everybody, and which we'll put it in the show notes, of course, but please, in case somebody's listening and wants to go ahead and hop over to follow you guys, how can they find Uncanny Content, follow you on social, your website, whatever the heck you want to share so everybody can connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram at Uncanny Content, and our website is uncannycontent.co, no M.
Got it. All right. Thank you so much, Latasha, for doing this with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show, y'all. For more information about the podcast, go to socialsunshinepodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn. And subscribe to the Social Sunshine Podcast YouTube channel to watch the video version of each episode. For more information about me, go to brittanycrossin.com and connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. The Social Sunshine Podcast is a Fun Love Media production. Funlovemedia.com. Bye.